What's up, everybody? Welcome into another episode of the Celtic Talk podcast here on the NBC Sports Boston Podcast Network. Got a jam-packed show for you today. Not only is my buddy B-Rob from Mass Live stopping by to give us some preseason prognostications and some, you know, what we saw in so far in training camp, but we're going to dive into this interview with Jalen and Jason that we got on Media Day, the bringing together the two pillars of the team to talk about what they've been through and what's ahead. And I thought it was a telling chance. You're not always that you get the chance to bring together the two focal points of the team, the two young all-stars, and get a chance to talk to them about both their relationship. And we'll get into why we asked about that. But also, you know, just where, how it feels to hear Ime Udoka say that they are the faces of the franchise and the pillars and to hear Brad Stevens say they're building around those two and finding players that best accentuate their talents. Very quickly, how it's gone from them being the young guys on those Kyrie Irving, Gordon Hayward teams to them now being the guys. Like it was just a few years ago that the Celtics were out there trying to get Al Horford as the sort of the big free agent splash, and Jalen was a rookie and Jason came in after that. And now it's their team. So very neat to get to sit down and hear them talk about each other and talk about where this franchise is going. And then again, you know, we'll digest Celtics getting that preseason win the other night. It felt a little different, right? Like last season was awkward, and everything that this team went through, it was neat for the team to start with some positive vibes and Aaron Nesmith sparking a fourth quarter comeback, Romeo Langford making the winner. I'm going to ask B-Rob what he thinks about the roster and you know how all this is going to shake out. But let's get right into the interview. I want you guys to hear, again, Media Day down in Canton, all the Celtics players. We got a chance to sit down with everybody. Got a chance to bring together Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, sort of pick their brain about what it means for them to be the faces moving forward. Here's our interview with Jalen and Jason. Is it fair to say people have this obsession with the superstars of the team being like best friends, but like how would you categorize the way you guys interact?
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. People have an obsession, and it's like they got to have something to talk about. And, you know, the question are they friends? Are they cool? Do they hang out? Do they not like each other? I mean, yeah, I've known JB for 7-some years, and over time, like you said, we've been through some stuff together. We've been in the playoffs, been in the bubble, had some heated arguments, had some good times, and I think that's just part of spending time with each other. And yeah, we close, like his family, his babysit, watch my son. I mean, people are different. People have different interests, but that's just part of coexisting with somebody.
I mean, personally, I don't like this dude. You know what I mean? Let's just get that out right now. No, I'm just playing. That's my man's, you know what I mean? It's weird to like talk about it on camera. But, you know what I mean? That's my man's. Like, he needs something. He come to me whenever time. We got to talk about something. I'm pick up the phone, you know what I mean? That's how it is. It's kind of weird sometimes amongst people, but, you know, if y'all want to hear from me, you know, that's my dog.
Yeah.
I wish the best for him. Potential is out the roof. You know what I mean? He's going to be probably one of the best players when it's all said and done, if you ask me. He still can't guard me. You know what I mean? He still can't do nothing with me. But when it's all said and done, you know, Jason Tatum is going to be, you know, one of the greats.
There's that photo of you guys together, Jalen, back, I think it was AAU days. I mean, do you look at that photo now and be like, oh my God, what's changed since then? And
It's kind of crazy, because like, out of all the pictures and all the people, it was this dude I was in the picture with. You know what I mean? I think that might have been one of the only pictures I probably took on visits with another player, and it just happened to be, you know, who, you know, I done been to multiple playoff runs with, you know, won a lot of games with, shared an all-star appearance, and hopefully, you know, can raise a banner with. That picture is going to be even better down the line.
We was at Kansas?
Kansas, we took a visit. It was late night in the fog at Kansas. I was on an official visit. I think he was on an unofficial or whatever. And he came and took a picture with me because I was the man. So he came over and was like, Jalen, can I take a picture? And I was like, cool, you know, I'm always for my fans. So that's how it went.
Is that how it went down, Jason?
I mean, if it make for a good story, so be it.
That's how it went.
Along that lines, one of the great photos that came out after Jason won the gold medal was you chomping on the gold medal. What was that like to be able to celebrate him getting to go over there and win a gold medal?
I was raised on a belief like, yeah, want for your brother what you want for yourself. So I feel like I want a gold medal because he won one. You know what I mean? I feel like because I'm so close and into his journey, to see him win was like seeing me win. You know what I mean? So that was dope. You know, he come from, I know his family, where he come from, St. Louis. You know, we look at stuff like, now it might not be nothing, but maybe in a couple weeks or a month or in a year, you're gonna be like, I just want a gold medal. Like, it's countries that don't have gold medals in. He probably gonna have a few of them when it's all said and done. That's huge, coming from, you know, places like where we from. So that's dope, you know? So I was proud of him. I wish I didn't get hurt so I could have been there. You know, he got my full support, and I don't think me supporting him is stopping anything that I got going on. I really don't believe that. Now, some people try to, they like dichotomizing it, whatever you want to call it, one of the two. But I can sit here and tell him to his face, the camera, I want him to be the best version of Jason possible, and however I can help that. I know he could say the same thing about me, so.
You know, I was always a believer, and I knew that, you know, what he was capable of, and obviously he's going to continue to get better. But, you know, seeing him really, you know, come into his own last year and make his first All-Star game, I couldn't have been happier for him. And I just know that, you know, it's only up from here.
Whatever obsession that people got, we pretty laid back people, you know what I mean? We kind of introverted, we kind of stay to ourselves. We hang out, maybe we don't hang out as much as people would like, but.
I do got a son.
But, you know, that's my man. I wish him the best, dog.
All right, it's been tough. It's been I've had to wait a whole week here or more for you guys to get to hear that interview. And it was exciting in the moment. I'll give you a little peek behind the curtain. So, you know, Media Day, we're fortunate enough as a broadcast partner to get to talk to all these guys. And, you know, you never know how much time you're going to have with each of these players. They're shuttling through multiple stations and, you know, it's a busy day for the players, but we had sort of said, like, if we could get Jalen and Jason together, because as we're brainstorming in the ramp up to this event, we're like, what are the big storylines around the team? What do we want to learn? What do we want to find out about this team? And one of the things that I'm constantly asked, both on our own programs by, you know, people who watch the team and or just fans, and is, you know, the relationship between Jalen and Jason. And so I know it makes people a little bit uncomfortable at times that we spend maybe as much time as we do on that. And I agree. Like, it's, you know, I'm not of the ilk that like the best players on a team have to be best friends, but I do think it's interesting to know the dynamic between the two. And one thing that I've long felt that maybe isn't visible up front is that the Jays do have this sort of special bond that goes all the way back to the first time they met there and the AAU camps, and then being at the night in the fog down at Kansas and getting that picture taken in 2014, long before they could have ever known that they would be teammates. And now they've been through a lot, right? Like, they've grown together and they've been the Eastern Conference Finals. They've been the young guys. They've been the focal points, and now they're all stars. And so it just all sort of comes together now for them. And, you know, I thought it was interesting to hear them talk about each other. To you know, we had a few minutes alone with each guy in between their joint interview, and hearing them rave about how the other has progressed was really interesting as well. So, but for me, it came down to, you know, it was refreshing to hear them talk about their relationship. And again, you know, like, Jalen's family's watching Deuce as babysitters, and these guys are all they're pulling for each other. Like Jalen saying that he's so close to Tatum's journey that it means something to him to watch him win a gold medal. And so I just thought that was really neat. And I don't want to say eases like what Celtics fans, but I just know it's always been sort of this lingering question that fans have had. And it was neat to get those guys together and hear them talk. And I think the other thing that came through to me is just their excitement for the upcoming season. You can see Jalen's just been throughout camp, has been in this sort of bubbly mood, really joking around. And, you know, I think it really, really hurt him to have to watch the playoffs last year and not being out there because of the wrist injury. You get a sense that he appreciates it a little bit more, and you don't take anything for granted. First time he's really gone through an injury. So very neat to just get a chance to catch up with them. We'll have more of their interviews individually further down the road, but you know, like let's shift gears here from the Jays. I hope you do. I will one last before we do shift gears. I will say, I hope you go to NBCSportsBoston.com and read the story, you know, a little bit more from that, those interviews, and talk with Brad Stevens about them and Josh Richardson about going against them and Enes Kanter. I just thought it was neat to really kind of dive into how the Jays are viewed, especially going into this new era where they are the guys. So go check that out for me. Check out the YouTube page as well. If you want to see that video interview, if you're not watching it already on the YouTube page, let's change it over. I got my guy, Brian Robb from Mass Live. You've heard of my 98.5, his Winning Plays pod. Want to just kind of get into the preseason game. I know it's been a while now. Celtics have been idle since that opener earlier this week, but a chance to digest that game. And what have we learned from camp? That's going to be my big question for B-Rob, because I don't know if we've learned a lot, but there's a lot more questions that we need answers to with only three games to go and before the games start to matter. So let's get into that interview with Brian Robb. All right, B-Rob, got you here a couple days later from the first preseason game. But here's what I want to start. I want to start from the 10,000-foot view. Have we learned anything about the Celtics in this past week? Anything at all?
I mean, based off the minute and a half of scrimmage we've been able to see over the first 2 weeks of camp, Chris, I think we've learned a lot. I will say this. I think the biggest thing we have learned, and I know Ime Udoka talks a lot about, you know, don't read in the lineups too much. Mm-hmm. Guess what? You're a rookie head coach. And you only have four preseason games to work with. We're going to read in the lineups. Mm-hmm. And to me, it was more of like that first half of the game against the Magic on Monday. He's talking about wanting a 9 or 10 player rotation. 10 guys played in that first 24 minutes. I think that's at least a sign of where things stand in camp for right now. And there's some clear interchangeability there, but guys like Enes Kanter, Romeo Langford, maybe, you know, even Grant Williams might be on the outside looking in once the regular season gets going as a jockey for the likes of Juancho Hernan Gomez and Payne Pritchard and Aaron Nesmith for those, you know, final fluid spots in the rotation, seems like.
Whoa, put some respect on starter Juancho's name right there after getting that. What did we think about that? We were joking about it I was texting you when it came down. I said, this is definitely like a way to get on Brad Stevens' good side, because it conjures back memories of when he started Joe Green in the 2016 playoffs against the Bulls. And we were all like, oh my God, I did not see starter Juancho coming. Is it an indication that they want size? Or is it an indication that they want shooting, or they want both, and that they just don't want to tip their hand that, you know, maybe it's Al?
It's tough to tell. It's tough to get a read in that one. Is it, hey, we want to build some trade value for Hernan Gomez before out of the gate here, because
I like that
he's only got 1 year, and, you know, he obviously had some potential before an up and down year in Minnesota. I tend to think that it is, I think it's a shooting thing more than anything else. Because a lot of the guys that you could put in that spot aren't exactly reliable shooters. And at least if you put Hernan Gomez there, who is, I think, not a reliable shooter either, but he's better than you have for other big alternatives on the roster, I think that helps. And because it lets you keep more offensive creation on that bench second unit, which I think, as we saw in the preseason opener, they're going to need everything they can get there. If, you know, Tatum and Brown are not on the floor together. So I think that is, but it is, it's a weird, again, I would have been shocked if Hernan Gomez was like the 12th or 13th man on this roster out of the gate here. But at the very least, if you're starting him with the usual group, it seems like he's got a legit chance to be in the rotation and be at least somewhat of a factor at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, and it comes down to me. It's just they're so desperate for shooting that the guy who makes a billion corner three-pointers in the 3 minutes that we get to watch every day is enough to potentially earn a spot in this rotation. And so, look, you know where I stand on this. I am on the start Aaron Nesmith train. Do I have any legs? Do you think this happens? I think the biggest fear I have is that if he does want size at that position, and that was part of the reason he went with Hernan Gomez, you know, that there's, you know, because you're trying to take some of the stress off Jalen and Jason having to defend fours and maybe use their length against twos and threes more often, you know, Nesmith might be not the ideal spot there, but you know, maybe I'm overreacting to the fourth quarter there, but I love the hustle. It's clear like his shooting can help the Jays. Am I stretching too much to hope that this might be the plan out of the gates, or is there any chance they'll go to this at some point during the season?
I mean, you got on the train at the right time there based on that fourth quarter. Offensively, it makes plenty of sense. Yeah. I mean, if you want to maximize the I feel pretty confident saying Nesmith is going to be a far better three-point shooter than Hernan Gomez this year. And so I think it all comes down to, again, do they want to protect the Jays against the, you know, having to guard those fours and threes if they go with that look? And I think the case can be made, you know, you can protect them maybe with the bench units when they go double bigs there. But I wouldn't mind it at all. I think it would be, if you want to maximize spacing around those guys and just have a guy who's going to be reckless and may not be a good defender yet, but is at least going to give you 100% effort all the time in that department. I'd be curious to see in one of these upcoming games, hopefully they give that look a try.
Yeah. So look, crash Nesmith. That is what I'm going with here. Like, I love that the Celtics Twitter today put out a photo of him upside down, three guys grabbing at his legs. It's like Nesmith talking yesterday about falling all over the place and learning how to fall. It's so true. Like, he's reckless out there, but I think if you put him with a lineup of Marcus, Rob, and the Jays, like, he's protected a little bit. Like, he can run around and be crazy, and that's okay. One of the things I had a problem with Hernan Gomez was, you know, he kind of blends in a little bit, right? Like, you know, he cuts a little bit. They definitely need someone who cuts with that group. But like, I need to see more activity, and, you know, maybe that comes. It's hard to judge off one preseason game against the Orlando Magic, but you know, I'm very interested. Let's talk about, cause everyone keeps asking me, like, what are the chances it's Allen Rob?
I mean, the way Ime is talking about Al Horford, again, we got to get a read on this, Chris, in terms of how is he,
that's the hard part, right?
Is he playing it close to the vest, being like, I'm going to talk up Al a ton so he feels better when I bench him and he's not starting, or am I going to talk him up to make it the world know that, like, you know, Al's our guy, and he, whether it's at the four or the five, we're going to be rolling with him. I'm not quite sure. I think realistically it makes plenty of sense for it to be Al and Rob, just in terms of how they've talked about it and how they've talked up Al. Whether that makes the most sense from a, you know, court perspective very much remains to be seen. If they play their, you know, play close to the vest here for the next week and the rest of these preseason games, I imagine some of the, you know, Jalen and Jason are not going to play all these games, so you might only get one more look at what this group looks like fully together. But if I was a betting man, I'd probably go Al and Rob right now, but I don't think that's the way to go. I think, yeah. I like your Nesmith idea. I like getting creative, maybe putting like even Wancho in there, just like having a guy in there so you can have more talent on the bench. I think doing that may be the best way to maximize this roster.
Yeah, watching Sam Hauser put up threes after practice today, I was ready to make a pitch for next Duncan Robinson to be in there. But
Did you see the Jaylen Brown tweet to the Celtics tweet about Nesmith, by the way?
No, what was it?
Response. It was just a picture of Ralph Wiggum
going through the window.
Yes. He just crossed that. So I was like, wow, this is gold.
That's endearing. I think that's like, that might be a sign that, that he's made it right. Like, right. Some people have done some great memes with that, like, with the Ralph Wiggum going through the window. Cause it's true. That is Nesmith just recklessly throwing himself when he really doesn't have to at times. It's just, that's just the way he plays. And I didn't know that was part of his game. You know, I think it's part of what he realized last year and got him on the court, but, it's fun to see. So I think the biggest thing with the two big lineup, just to kind of put a bow on that, is, you know, I'm just still shell shocked from last year. All those Tristan Thompson, Daniel Tice minutes have like scarred me. Like, I don't want to see any more two big lineups. And I've heard people say, well, you know, it's not like the Celtics didn't play two bigs just a couple of years ago. Yeah, but that was with like Aaron Baines on the back line. And, you know, there was a little bit of different, like there's a heft to Baines, whereas like Rob is still a good passer. I still want Rob in the high post. So if Rob's in the high post and Al's floating around the 3-point line, like what is this? What are we doing? Like, I need to see it before I'm into it. I'll fully relent. Like if it's the starting lineup on Saturday night, that'd be great. Like, let's see it. But I'm not sure that we're going to see it because I don't know. Maybe they are playing close to the vest. But maybe Eman's just a straight shooter. Maybe Eman's not going to hide anything. He's just going to be like, hey, yeah, this is what we're doing. Like, be direct with everything you do because that is something that we've learned. He says he wants to be direct with his players, with the officials, all that. So that's good. I think the other thing we've learned, the only thing I feel comfortable saying, besides the fact that the Celtics practice the hell out of free throws, is that the pace is going to be higher, that they are clearly going through some growing pains as they learn like this 0.5 second thing, sort of the pop system where, you know, make a decision. Are you shooting? Are you passing it? Move it. Just keep going. And they were all over the place in the first quarter. But I like that. I think that was something Brad would have liked to have done more often. Maybe didn't always have the personnel, but with all the ball handlers and the bigs that can move it, there's a chance here for Ime to really go all in on this.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Give me one other big takeaway you had from the preseason game that you feel comfortable declaring after watching 48 minutes of basketball against an Orlando Magic basketball team that had Mo Wagner torching the Celtics for, and Mo Bamba having the best game of his career.
I think that was the story of the game was Mo Bamba. But well, I'll phrase it to you this way. As the ultimate Rob Williams guy, were you concerned about your guy?
Am I concerned when Mo Bamba is torching my guy?
Yes.
Yes, I will say I was definitively scared. I did not want to talk about it. You know, a little peek behind the curtain here. We had budgeted out some stories for the preseason. And well, I guess I'm going to tip my hand here a little bit. But I have a story that is essentially the thesis is why Rob Williams is the most important player on the Celtics this season. It might have been scheduled for the day after that preseason game. And we just kind of shifted that one back a few days, you know, like maybe pick a better spot than the 0-for-7 performance and where he got beat by Bamba a few times. So I think he's shaking a little rust, but he still like swatted 220-plus-foot shots at you know, like there's still the glimpses I see. He's got to get better at the switching and all that. Like that's become a thing this week now. But yeah, I get it. So I'll be okay. Please respect my privacy during these trying times, but hopefully he looks better on Saturday night against the Raptors. Let's swing to the other side of the roster because people actually enjoy this chatter. Who's going to get that 15 spot? Because if Jabari's not going to play in a preseason game, then it's got to be a shooter, right?
Yeah, I think that's the default. If Wancho is starting or getting, or at least getting relevant minutes there, that is very bad news for Jabari Parker because you also have Grant Williams on this roster right now. And I think Grant Williams and Jabari Parker as deep bench players is the definition of redundant. And so you could use another 3-point shooting. I'm not sure if you saw much. That wasn't great shooting from 3-point range on Monday night. Not that they're going to shoot 35% every night in the case of the words of me and Doga, but I don't know. Like,
I don't know. This roster again. Yeah, it's not great. I actually, that was the one time where I think, I don't know if he may caught himself. like, well, we're not going to shoot 35% every night. I was like, have you seen your roster? You might shoot 35% every night.
They might shoot 34 or 33. It might not be 35.
So who do you think it is? They brought in a whole bunch of these guys who can do it, and Garrison and Ryan. And, Theo Pinson towel waving was immaculate on the sideline. So, do you have a preference on like, because, again, we haven't seen any of these dudes, but we have in past seasons. Is there, if you had to lean right now, if you were Brad Shoes, are you thinking for that 15th spot?
I mean, if you want the best pure shooter, it has to be Matthews, right?
Yeah.
But he doesn't have the most experience. I mean, Archie Diacono was a legit rotation player for the last two or three years for the Bulls, and the Bulls are bad. So it's not like that's something to hang your hat on, but he can hit some three. I always use a good 15th man for sure if they have a spot for there. So I don't know, just roll. We'll see how things go in Florida, because I'm sure both those guys will get some run in those games when, they call off the dogs in either one of those. And I'm going to guess it's going to be Matthews because he's the best pure shooter, but maybe you get him on a two way and you can keep Archie Nako too. Like, he's eligible for the two way as well. So that will be intriguing subplot. And honestly, it's pretty nuts that one of those guys is going to be the 15th man compared to where this roster was last year. And the options they were picking from at that point.
Yeah. We call it 15th man, but guys been 12 to 15 should just be prepared for some bench riding, because it's definitely not going to go much past 12. And it's great that Romeo Langford hit that shot, but man, he's got to go to another level if he's going to muscle his way into that rotation. Like, we've talked about it. I don't know where Peyton Pritchard minutes are necessarily coming from, except that they need shooting and he will get opportunities and he can play off the ball. But if Schroeder's good, if Josh Rich, look, that's the other thing, man. I gotta bring you in a little bit. You've been on the Josh Richardson hype train. Like, if I'm on the Time Lord hype train, you and Josh Richardson, I was listening to your podcast the other day, and I think you started talking up Josh and your dog started barking in the background. And I think that was a clear sign to me that even the dog is sick of hearing this. Give me the pitch on why you think Josh Richardson is going to turn this around and be more serviceable than I saw in game one.
He's going to turn back the clock to 2018. That's probably my best answer at this point, because the Josh Richardson we saw Monday night was the guy that was benched in Dallas for the most of the playoffs last year. And you'd think just the environment, he talked today at practice about the competition here and, comparing it to his time in Miami. And that was the time where, everyone's talking about it. That was when he was at his best. And maybe I just saw a bunch of games where Richardson burned the Celtics from mid-range a lot and was a pain on defense. And you hope, if you're Ime Udoka, that's how it translates here. But it's been 2+ years now. And so him getting back to this form, it's not a sure thing. And like you said, if Pritchard and Nesmith are, hot in his heels and hitting more shots from three, and, they're not going to be the defender he is, but it might be a situation where that shooting is more important than what he can bring on the defensive end, in which case, he's not going to be a lock for 20+ minutes a game.
Yeah. I still think the defense is going to get him that time, and the familiarity with Ime will help. But yeah, all these guys, it's going to come down to what they shoot. Like, if Grant Williams is going to be out there, he's got to hit shots. Like, good sign that he hit one of his first ones the other night. But it's really going to come down to who can consistently shoot the basketball, because they are desperate for shooting. I don't know if I have a lean yet on the 15th player. I was pretty, because of their thinness at the four, I thought it for sure would just Jabari would kind of stumble into it. And we'll see again, we'll find out if it is, but I do sort of lean with you that it's probably more likely to be a shooter that they can just, cross their fingers. Now, if you get Juwan Morgan through to two-way and, if he's willing to do that after, the guy was starting playoff games for the Jazz. I don't know if necessarily, but he hasn't also been out in the court. So, but if you could get him through to the two way and then have Hauser and Morgan, a couple power forward type options that you could bring off, maybe it does make you feel a little bit more comfortable going with a guard and a shooter in that spot.
Is Bruno a lock to make the team, do you think?
I don't think he's, none of these guys are locked in the sense that if Brad can find a 2-for-1 deal or find a way to, he's going to do it. And he's kind of, I talked to him in our media day interview, it was clear. He's like, I'm not sitting on my hands. This roster isn't done. And if there's ways to get better, he's going to do it. And I think maybe more, he's going to have a shorter leash than I think Ainge will, because he's not attached to any of these 2019 guys either. Like, yeah. Danny sat there hoping Carson Edwards would figure it out and that, you know, Romeo would be the guy. But, you know, Brad doesn't have that attachment. Brad's sitting there thinking, these are the guys I couldn't lean on. And so I think there's going to be a little bit more of a quick trigger there. And yeah, like Bruno is, I don't know if you got the chance to talk to Bruno yet. He's super fun.
And, you were fine. Talk to him in Vegas.
They said he's like the strongest dude in the team, like stronger than Grant. He's already broken some of Grant's weight room records.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I'm keep scooping my own stories.
Yeah. But, wow. All right. I got it.
I think there's potential there, but yeah. Like, and the one thing I'll say is like Bruno really wants to see that KG retirement ceremony. So he has added motivation to try to get through there. But yeah, so if I'm betting, a little October 7th betting, you'll probably listen to this on the 8th. I'm going to go if they can funnel Juwan to two-way, you know, they feel pretty fortunate with that. And then they take Garrison with the 15th spot and ride the shooting. Unless Smart is like, you know, between Neesmith and Archie, do the Ryan's last name for me, because I already can't do it.
Archie Diacono, I think.
Archie,
I don't know, but I don't know. We'll go with Ryan.
The Arch of Dimes, right? Like the when he's assisting out there. But I messed it up so many times; it's now in my head, and so I really hope he doesn't have a huge game, because on the pregame show and postgame show, I'll be messing it up completely. But if they want his like full throttleness and craziness, like maybe there's a chance. Look, all the bench guys have been having fun. The whole on your head after Tatum's dunk, that was great. So it's been fun to see. All right, let me think, what else are we hot on? Like, again, to peel back the literal curtain that we sit there and watch for hours on end at this practice, we hear things going on behind scenes. We haven't seen really a damn thing. As you alluded to, we saw 1.5 minutes of up and down action, probably the second practice. Yeah. And I think we saw 3 missed shots, including Grant and Tatum, and that was it. And since then, we've seen free throws, 1 random 3-point contest in terms of like everybody at different stations. But yeah, it's really hard to get a read on what's going on. I feel like most training camps, I come away and I'm like, oh, I saw this or I saw that. I don't really have a vibe, except that the vibes have been good, right? Like, is that fair to say? Like,
oh, yeah.
I know I heard the atmosphere at the Garden, even though I'm stuck in the studio, was pretty electric the other night.
Preseason game, it was like, what is this? This is like, gets louder. I mean, I think that might just be a sign of people being excited to be back in the building. Since, you know, obviously that wasn't the case for most fans last season. And there was, and Ime Udoka talked about it, like there was a lot of unselfish play. It didn't result in a lot of baskets, but guys were passing up shots for better shots, almost, you know, passing up good shots when they shouldn't have. And so I think people were appreciative of that, of, you know, the decent effort, and everyone was, we'll see again if it lasts. It was just, you know, the first game in the building here. There's, that didn't matter, obviously, but it'll be fascinating to see how long those continue.
My big thing was like, after last season, it was just refreshing to see a team that could actually like come back from adversity, that kind of hung in there. Sure. And so it was fun. It was basketball was fun again. But I will say this, you know, in talking to especially guys like Jalen and Jason, there's an energy there this year. There's a little bit more of a pep. Like, Jalen has been cracking jokes and obviously had a great first quarter. Let's end on that, because that should probably be the first thing we talk about, because of how important he is to the team. But let's close on Jalen. Any concern when you hear him say 80 to 85% with that wrist?
No, because as someone who has fractured their wrist like 3 times and not anything that he's done, and certainly not a professional athlete. It's going to take a while. And the fact he's playing that well and he's saying it's 80 or 85% is very good news, but I'm not sure if he's at 85% now, I'm not sure he's going to get to 100% midseason here, because once it starts taking a punishment, it's going to get sore, and that's just, you know, he's going to have to live with that.
Well, 3 times you broke your wrist.
Yeah, it was bad. Same wrist. Happened in high school, and then happened in flag football at college. I did it twice. Oh, actually, so that was I have a nice,
you know, it's flag football, you know, you're not supposed flag to football.
I know, it doesn't matter. I dove for the ball and was like, didn't get it, and then I got up and I was like, well, that's not right. And yeah, so that was out for the season for that one.
Well, I have now more respect for you grinding away with all those posts you're putting out for mathbar.com, knowing that you're dealing through injuries and probably like residual carpal tunnel and all that's going on there. So, you know, stretch it out, get that thing moving. We'll see. Any final projections, takeaways, any final declarations you'd like to make about this team before we see game two and totally change everything? It's so much fun to overreact to the preseason. I almost wanted to do the full episode on this, but you know, I'm trying to think like down the roster if there was anybody else. Like Marcus didn't look great in his first time as point guard, but
you know,
as the starter, but you know, it's the first one. Could you hear Ime inside the building?
No, we really couldn't. And I think that's more of the crowd than anything else. But yeah, it was honestly, I think we almost covered everything here, Chris. Like, because Tatum was Tatum. Like, that wasn't, you know, he had the nice dunk and stuff. Yeah. But that was him. And then, yeah, like, Al looked like Al. He was moving well. Schroeder was like, there was no.
Oh, can we talk about Schroeder? Like, that's where I want to end. What do you think's going on with Schroeder's hair? Do you think he dyed it? Do you think he dyed?
Yeah, I gotta think he dyed it, and it's and it not.
It came out bad,
or just he has to go back for, you know, a re-dye or something. I don't know. I don't know how he operates with that, but
I'm vaguely familiar with the peroxide treatment. I haven't, you know, frosted the tip since probably 2000, but if I remember right, it's really, you know, you kind of just paste it on and cover it for a day. But he had the ski cap on again today, which leads me to wonder if there's like. You know, did he try to like a new color? Did he try for green? As some people have suggested he did.
Did you ever have a mishap with when you colored it? Or
no, I think I went to a professional, like my wife or my girlfriend at the time, you know, she took me someplace that actually could frost the tips and maybe look very Ryan Cabrera like from back in the day. I don't, you know, you guys can Google that. That's a really archaic reference right there. But so I don't know. But I've never had to do a large swatch of my hair to you know, kind of to fill that in. So well, the
that's keeping you under wraps till opening night. Apparently, that might be the story.
Yeah. Here's where I'm at with it. I now go to practice to find out if Dennis Schroeder finished dyeing his hair, because that's probably the most thing we're going to learn. All right, B-Rob, you got a million posts to write on masslive.com. Check them out on the Winning Plays pod. And, you know, like I said, I'm going to keep muscling you in here because it's fun to overreact to the preseason.
That's what we do. It's when you have one game in 2 weeks. That's what you got to do.
All right. Good stuff from B-Rob. Always enjoy getting to talk to him and see if my crazy projections are right or wrong. I'm most of the time wrong, but and I'm glad he gave me some grief about Rob, because like, look, if I'm gonna be here in the good times when he's earning contract extensions, I gotta just own it. When he has a rough night, I do like actually that he's trying to get that 10 to 15 footer working. I know some people are like, no, that's not your shot. I do want to see him roll to the basket more, maybe finish those dunks instead of sending it off the rim and to the rafters. But I do think if Rob is going to become a more complete player, you know, being able to keep defenses honest and pull them out and not allow them to just sort of protect the rim is going to be huge. So you know, Saturday night, Celtics play exhibition game number 2 against Toronto, top of my list. Like, how does Rob bounce back? How does Marcus look as he settles into that point guard starting role? And what do we see with the starting lineup? So a lot of interesting things ahead. I can't wait to get another glimpse of this team and see how this thing, this puzzle with the roster starts to come together. While we're waiting for that game, I need you to go like, subscribe, check us out on the YouTube page. Go check us out at NBCSportsBoston.com. Read all the preseason coverage. We'll catch you next time on the Celtics Talk podcast.